Okay, so ready to start? Okay, so we're continuing with the Shita of the Reina Chanana. So let's see Reina Chanana side. So the big question is, the big question which he's trying to address, is that when you put a drink in your mouth, because you, if you have to make a bracha, and then you realize that you didn't make a bracha, so the Gemara says you swallow. So how do you swallow it without making a bracha? What happened to bracha? What happened to the fact that it's also without a bracha? Right? That's the question. Okay, so Rabbi Nachmanel, so we had different theories, but Rabbi Nachmanel is a new one. So it says, Pirush Rabbi Nachmanel, okay, I'm reading from the Rosh, B'mashkin bolam, B'in mevarach alayim. You swallow them, you don't have to make a bracha. Mishum de'idchidu mitoras mashkin. Because they're pushed aside from the class of drinks. Because they're not fit to drink for all people. Some people, for you, they're fit to drink, but no one else can drink it. Therefore, you don't have to be makbid about the bracha. Even if you could make a bracha with difficulty, still you don't have to. Okay? Still you don't have to. So that's the Rosh. That's the Rambam. So he says, no, but the problem is it seems like it should be consistent with the eating stuff. When the eating thing is, it seems like there you're making a bracha under certain conditions, so therefore the drinking also should be that you're making a condition of the bracha somehow. Okay, fine. That's the Rosh's question. But the question we had is, what does he mean? I mean, there is a halacha. I mean, let me just reference you to halacha. And it's a halacha in the Rambam. But it's, I'm sure it's a Gemara and all.
Did the Rosh had a question on Rechonon?
Yeah, the Rosh question is just that the Gemara has three cases. Drink lollipops, which he says right. You take out, and pretzels you put on the side of your mouth, right. And drinks, which you swallow. So he says it seems like they should all be the same. The first two you're making brachas. The third one you think also would be that you make a bracha.
I see.
As opposed to the third one, the Rechonon is learning, you don't make a bracha. So it's not parallel. But I'm saying that's like a pshat question, but I'm saying the conceptual questions he's referencing a halacha, a par, the halacha seems big. Halacha says it's perichas and hilchas brachos, halacha zayin. It says zechein ochlem shein ruin lachila umashkin shein ruin l'shtia. If you have a food which is not fit for eating or a drink which is not fit for drinking, ina tuna bracha lofnei lachayim. Okay. It's like dried out peppers or something. This is an example, whatever. But foods basically which are not, or like a spice. If you eat like a spice, if you just take like pepper and you just eat the spice. Pop right here. Yeah, okay, so it's if you eat a spice, if you just take pepper and start chewing on peppers, that's not a food. So it's a spice, it's not a food, so it's not a roof of fit for eating. So you happen to eat it, you don't make a bracha. So that's halacha. But now it sounds like he's referencing, the Rechonon is trying to say, well, this also is like it's not fit for eating, because it's not fit for all people to eat. But the question is, if that's the case, if he's really holding that it's not fit, it's not defined as an ochel, because it's not fit for all people to eat. First of all, the same thing should be by the case by foods. By food, if you put it in your mouth, why? It's just pretzels. Why are you putting it inside of your mouth? Just say it's not fit for eating. No one else would eat it, so therefore that's it. Why should a food be different than a drink? It doesn't seem like there's a discrepancy between food and drink. And also, if he's saying is that it's not an ochel and not a mashka, and it doesn't lend itself to bracha because it's basically not a drink, so why does he say you don't have to be machbid about its bracha? You don't have to be so careful about the bracha, even if you could do it with difficulty. You just say, no, you can't make a bracha. There's not shaykh to make a bracha altogether because it's not a drink. You don't make brachas on things that aren't drinks. Right, what's he saying is you don't have to be careful about it. It's real, sir. You're not allowed to make a bracha. How can you make a bracha? It's not subject to making a bracha. It's not even a drink anymore. It implies, in theory, you'd like to make the bracha, but you don't have to be so careful about it because, anyways, it's not really so much of a drink. Right? But what kind of thing is that? I mean, either it's a drink or it's not a drink. Either it's chayv in a bracha, in which case you have to make a bracha, and you have to spit it out. Or you say it's not subject to bracha, and that's it. It's not subject to bracha. What kind of middle line is there are things which you don't have to be so careful about making brachas? Since when does halacha have such a thing about halachas that you don't have to be that careful about? I mean, either it's halacha, it's not the halacha. Is it also to drink it, is it not also to drink it? And what does he mean also is that even if you could make the bracha on the drink, like they atchak, with difficulty, you still don't have to. What does he mean with difficulty? I mean, I guess practically he means you can manage to get out a bracha. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if you didn't know this halacha, that's probably what you would do. You take the food and the drink, put it inside your mouth, turn your head sideways, and try to talk without choking and whatever. I mean, it's not going to come out that great, but, you know, you could kind of do it. He says, no, you don't have to worry about that.
It's very difficult.
Yeah. Very difficult.
Liquids.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how much you have. If you have a tiny bit, maybe you can pull it off. But if you have a real mouthful of liquids, it's not going to happen, you know? But he's saying, even if you could try to push yourself, still don't, you don't have to, you don't have to mind if you're not good about it. So, like, what kind of thing, you know, what's the deal there? What's the point he's making there? You would, correct. You're right. I mean, the simple, that you could have argued that, yeah, but you would eat it, so other people wouldn't, well, but you would.
The whole point is to put it in your mouth, so you will eat it.
Right, you will eat it, correct. So that's why you could just ignore Rabbeinu Chananel altogether and say, who cares about other people? But Rabbeinu Chananel does care about other people. He says, it's not considered a drink because it's not fit for all people. That's why it sounds like it's kind of like a middle ground. Since it's not fit for everybody, but it's fit for you, so it's kind of sort of in between, so therefore, you don't have to be that careful about it, but kind of, why not, probably should. Like, it sounds like some sort of middle ground. What's the deal? You go by other people, in which case you say it's not a food, and don't make it a whole together, or do you go by you, in which case it is a food? Right? It's like he somehow has this middle ground here, where it's, you know, that's the problem. Hold on one second. So Sammy says, it's a good question, Sammy says. Like, let's say you have a, what does it mean when you have a food that's not fit for eating? You don't make a bracha. Let's say the food is just disgusting. It's gross. People look at it as gross. I don't know. You drop some sort of smell juice on it or something. I don't know. So these then presumably, I would think, at least it seems to be according to this logic, that that's not a food. It's no one would eat it. So it seems to be what people will or won't eat is based on psychological things. I don't know if it's just purely based on nutrition, based on psychological, not only, I mean, you could have argued it's based totally on the sustenance or the taste of it, but based on some psychological aversion to other people's mouths, you'd say that doesn't qualify, but it seems like it does, and I can kind of hear that. It's not fit for eating, so it's disgusting. It's not fit for eating. Now why not, right? Like, let's say someone actually takes food out of their mouth and spits it out and you eat it, so you may rough on that. I would think not, you know, even though it's what's wrong, well, nutrition wise it's fine, but that's part of the idea of fit for eating. Fit for eating means that a human being eat this under whatever conditions. Yeah. Right? So that seems reasonable. But you would eat it, but the other people would. More of a spar. But I mean, okay, so I think, well, one thing pshat-wise, I mean, I'm not sure if they're saying this part yet, but pshat, just was pshat of Rash. We still have to explain it, but there's another thing just in terms of what he's trying to do, is that it seems that he's saying is like when the thing is not edible for other people, it's like you kind of have to make a bracha. Okay? You don't have to be careful, mock a bit about it. You don't have to be so careful, but you kind of have to. Okay, which is the hard, that's the big part. But you kind of have to. There's like a medium chiyuv. So if it's easy to do, or if you could pull it off in relative ease, then you have to, like buy a food. But if it's going to be very, very difficult, and it's going to be like a forced kind of a bracha, with the liquid dripping out of your mouth and whatever, so then they said, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like that's the difference. The difference seems to be is that by a drink, it's a very, there's no really good method of doing it. The way you're going to do it, it's not really going to be a good shavach anyways. It's going to be forced. It's going to be the water dripping out of your mouth, whatever it is. So they said, since it's only a medium type of a chiyuv, so he said, don't worry about it by a drink. But by a food, it's a medium chiyuv, but then why just do it? Put it on the side of your mouth, take it out of your mouth, so then you have to. Right, just that's the pshat of the, it seems to be the pshat difference between food and drink. The hard part is, what's this medium kind of chiyuv? Well, what kind of thing is that? Really, are you chayv or not chayv? Okay. Now, just in terms of methodology, right, I mean, that's what it boils down to, right? So now the question is, what kind of thing is this medium chiyuv? So I mean, I'll just give you a methodology point, is that you're kind of chayiv, you're not chayiv. Like, what kind of thing is this, right? What are these levels? So I'm not sure that this is the only way to go on this kind of thing. One second. I'll give you anyways, I just want to give you a little, okay, so there's a way to go is that there's two frameworks of bracha. Two frameworks of the chiyuv of bracha. And like, in one framework, you do have to make a bracha here, and in another frame, you don't have to make a bracha here. Something like that, you know? Like, there's two realms. And that's why this food is kind of like a food, and it's kind of not like a food. must be that there is one way to go is that there's two different frameworks of the chiyuv of bracha, and in a certain sense, this is considered a food and you do have to make the bracha, but in another sense, it's not a food and you're not going to have to make a bracha. And the upshot, therefore, is you kind of have like a medium type of a chiyuv, you know? If it's a food in both senses, then you have an absolute chiyuv, no ifs, ands, or buts. Then you'd never be able to swallow it. But here, when it's kind of a food, kind of not a food, it's like the one aspect of your chiyuv bracha falls away, but the other aspect still exists. And the punchline is, if it's relatively easy for you to do it, then you have to, otherwise not. You know what I mean? Again, that's still like a sketch, and it's an approach. But it's just like, oftentimes where you have like this kind of a middle ground, where it kind of is, sort of is, it's oftentimes that there's two frameworks which are kind of colliding, and therefore in one framework it is, and one framework it isn't, and that kind of would result in like a middle ground. You know what I mean?
That's what I was like.
Okay, so Sam, so one step is the two frameworks of Ochel are a framework vis-a-vis, Ochel, a food vis-a-vis you, and a food vis-a-vis the world, objectively, right? It would seem to be when it's a food vis-a-vis you, then X, when it's a food vis-a-vis objectively, then Y. And now we have to fill in what's that X and Y. Sure. If it's a food objectively, then you have to be super careful. If it's not, then you have to be a little careful. Like, what kind of things are those? Okay, so I think Sammy's onto something here. But let's just make it, you know, convince him of it. So the thing is like this, is that there's two things. There's two frameworks. One thing is there's an Isser. Right? Asr la nasman la zab la bracha. That's the premise of this discussion, is that how can you possibly swallow this thing? It's Asr to swallow something without making a bracha. Right? That's one idea. There's an Isser in place. Right? Another thing is there's a chiyuv of bracha. There's a positive, there's an institution that you have to make a bracha. Forget the Isser. Just that you're eating food. And then when you eat food, you have to make a bracha. I mean, they kind of go together. They both exist. Right? When I have food in front of me. So first of all, if I want to eat this thing, I'm chayav to make a bracha. But then also, it's not just I'm chayav to make a bracha. There's an Isser to eat something without a bracha. An achila b'li bracha without a bracha is like a bad achila. It's like a totally, then it's a denial of God or something like that, you know? So there's two different things. And this is similar to what you're saying also. So what's the two things? So now how does it work out? So you're saying it like this. Then an iser is like an objective structure. It's like a prohibition. It's an objective prohibition. This is an iser. So it's asr, you say, this is like a maisa iser. It's an action, this is action, it's a prohibited action. So what's the action? So saying when you're dealing with an iser, you have to define it objectively. What's the iser? What's the prohibition? Prohibition is asr to eat a food without a bracha. So how do you define a food? Objectively. Is it objectively food? Is it not objectively food? And the answer is no. Because since it's forbidden in your mouth, objectively no one else is going to eat the thing. So you will, because you happen to be whatever, it's your germs, your whatever, but objectively something chewed up is not a food. So on an objective level, once it's already chewed up, now there's no iser to eat this thing without a bracha. Okay, because again, the iser is to eat something which is a food, and again, an iser is like an objective prohibition. It has to have a form to the iser. So the way to define it is an objective level. But when you talk about the chiyuv of shavach, so that's an idea. See, shavach is is the person is involved in praising God for this activity he's about to do. Okay, so the saying is that the Renachana holds. That can be defined on a personal level. In other words, is it subject to giving shavach? Okay, in other words, will this be praise? If you eat something which is disgusting, and you give praise, okay, that's no praise. But if you eat something and the food's in your mouth and you use your food and you're about to eat it, then you can give praise on it. You say to God, thanks for God. God's great for giving us pretzels. Shoot-up pretzels, whatever. But the point is that it's a food for you. You're hungry. You're going to eat it. So therefore, it's subject to give praise on it. And once it's disgusting, if it's disgusting vis-a-vis you and vis-a-vis everybody, then it's not subject to praise. But the praise is, since you are the one praising, so therefore you measure whether it's a praise or not from your framework. Are you involved in praise? So you can't praise on something bad, but you praise on something good. So therefore, as long as the praise will be praise, then you have to give it. You have to say it before you eat. But an isser, see, an isser is saying is an objective structure. The Rabbanan set up an isser. He holds there's a prohibition, and an isser has to have a more objective form to it. You can't have an isser for me, but not for you, and not for you. Well, is this action prohibited? Is this action not prohibited? The action of giving praise, you say praise could be a subjective thing. Well, for me it would be praise, and for somebody else would be would not be praise. For me it's disgusting, for me it's good, and then for someone else, yeah, but for me it's praise, that's fine. But it's a prohibition has to have an objective character to it. So Rabbeinu Chananel argues is that, what's your question? How could this guy swallow this food without making a bracha? So we'll say, hold on a second, in terms of objectively, it's not a food anymore. So the isser doesn't exist. There's no isser to swallow the thing. And there'll be no isser in the case of the food either. There's no isser. But you still have an obligation to give praise. You still have an obligation to give praise. So it says this, yeah, but that obligation is only if it's possible, is it reasonably possible for you to give praise. You don't have to be that machbid on it. That was just like a positive obligation to give praise on the thing. If you're going to give praise and it's going to be water dripping out of your mouth and it's going to be totally a forced type of praise, then you don't have to do it. It's not reasonable to demand the guy does that. So it's like you basically can't do it. But if it's in the food, you can move it out of your mouth and do it. So you still have to do it. So saying is like, if there were an isser, then you can't tell me, oh, but it's going to be very hard for me to do it. It's very hard, but I don't care, but it's prohibition. If you want to eat this food, if this were in place, you want to eat this food, you got to move it to the side of your mouth, make it hard, make it difficult, whatever it is, but bottom line is, this is a prohibition. So if there were a prohibition still in place, then there would be no way to say, don't make a bracha. I don't care if it's very hard, but that's your only choice, either make a bracha or don't eat it. But he's saying, once the isser falls away, now there's just the positive obligation. But now the positive obligation, look, if I could do it, I could do it. If the only way to do it is with the point where it's basically going to butcher the praise, then there's an obligation to make that kind of a praise. It's going to be a praise of the Yitzchak. That's not a chiv to give that praise. So therefore, he says, you don't have to be so careful about it. So for that one, you don't do. You don't make it by the drink. It's kind of like, a little bit like Rashi, who says that that when you have to make the bracha, but if you can't, you don't. But Rashi was saying there's no real isser. Rabbeinu Chananel is saying there is an isser, but the isser is only when it's objectively an halacha, objectively a mashka, it's objectively edible. And therefore that isser falls away once it's not fit to eat for most people, now it's not objectively an halacha, and therefore the isser falls away. Now you're just left with a positive thing, that you have to make the bracha, you're not allowed to just eat without ignoring your obligation to Shevach and to eat it. But here you're not ignoring it. It's practically impossible to make a bracha on a drink when it's in your mouth. Now you could force it, but you're not chayav to do that. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to be so machbid about it. You do have to be super machbid if you have an isser in place. If you have an isser, it's an isser. It's the only way to do it. So it's an isser. So you got to be as machbid. There's no other choice. It's a prohibition. Like a person is, let's say a person has a mitzvah. A mitzvah is to take a lulav. But let's say it costs $1 million and you can't, they can't afford it. So now what? So you can't afford it. You're not chayav to go so far to get a lulav. There's a limit to how far the Torah is mechayav you to do. But if you made an eder that you're not going to eat any food until you take a lulav. So now it's usur for you to eat food. So now you'll say, yeah, but it'll cost $1 million. I'll say, I don't care, but you have an isser. There's an isser to eat food, so it's hard for you. So what? I don't care. There's an isser. An isser, you need the permit the permit for you to eat is that you take a lulav, then there's isser for you to eat. There's isser for you to eat, unless you have the lulav. But if you just have a mitzvah, so in a mitzvah, you say there's a limit to how far you have to go in terms of a mitzvah. So the thing is that you don't have to go so far when you have a drink in your mouth. The Torah is not, the Rabbanan are not obligating you to pick food in your mouth and turn your head sideways and work out a way to manage to eke out those words or whatever. That makes sense. It's not reasonable to be mechayiv in that. But if you say that if there's an isser, it means that food is prohibited to you and the only permit to eat the food is that you make a bracha. So it's very nice that it's hard for me too and it's very difficult. But if you don't get out that bracha, then there's no permit. So that's what he's saying. But that isser falls away once it's objectively not fit for food. Because that's isser has to be an objective formulation, and that's defined based on everybody. So therefore, the isser falls away. Now you're just left with the obligation. But an obligation ain't locked, but you don't have to be so careful with it. It means that there's in a mitzvah, there's a limitation on how far you have to go for this to do that positive thing. So you don't have to at this point. You know what I mean?
Sign brachos to different.
Correct. You're right. And learning is like, this is, I guess, this part of Inachanas Kiddush, is that, I mean, this is a natural question to sugya. I mean, it's definitely a mitzvah, like a bracha is, on the one hand, it's a positive, it's like, so to speak, a mitzvah, as I say, it's a darabanan, but it's like a darabanan, it's a positive institution. They're not setting up like an isser, like you can't drive, you can't ride a horse on Shabbos. It's a positive institution, it's a takana. But at the same time, there's a chazal, the Kiddush is also a bracha, there's an isser. So how does that work? Rashi learned it's essentially really just a positive institution, right? Yechayez mega bracha, and the iser just means you're not allowed to not do the positive. So it's almost like descriptive there. So it's not intrinsically an iser. But Yechayez learning know that they're really two separate things, and I'll tell you why. The idea is that giving praise is a mitzvah. It's a positive idea, and therefore they set up that you must do this positive thing, but eating without a bracha is like, it's like ma'al. It's like you're taking the, it's like hektesh they compare it to. It's like you're stealing or something, you know? That's a negative thing. So they're really two separate things. They're two things I'm doing. Is first of all, I'm positively involved in recognizing God. And secondly, I'm avoiding the stealing, so to speak, you know? So they really are two, they're nature, two different things. And that's the Rinchal's Kiddush, you know? You could learn that there's an Isser, and you could say it's Asser, but the Isser is measured subjectively. I mean, you could have said that. I mean, the Rebbeinu's argument, but there's a sense to it. It's not arbitrary. There's a sense to saying that an Isser is going to be measured on an objective level. It's like a formal, it's a prohibition. But when you're talking about the activity of Shavach, you measure that. Well, is it going to be Shavach? So if the person is the person of Shavach, then it's Shavach. You know? And I'm saying you have to say that, but that's, I think, what he is saying, and there is a sense to it. Yeah, I mean, like the Rambam says, mitzvah says in the beginning of brachos, aleph aleph, mitzvah say min haTorah levarach achar achilas mazon. So it's a mitzvah say in Torah to a bench. Then he says beis. I'm skipping a little bit. I mean, divrei sofrim levarach al kol maichel tchila ve'achach yana mimenu. And the Rishonim, the Rabbanan said that you should make a bracha on every food first, and then have anah.
Right.
If you smell something, you varach varach yana. Also, right. Even if you want to eat a little bit, varach varach yana. V'chol anah and below bracha ma'al.
Right.
It's like two things. You know, they set up a positive thing, but if you eat without it, then that's a trespass. You know.
Right. Like you said, like the positive address is Ketzim.
You're right, but I'd say it's not. That's kind of the address is saying is give. It's kind of it's the assumption of Ketzim Mevarchim.
Right.
Given that they're discussing Ketzim Mevarchim, it means that apparently there's a positive institution of a bracha.
Right.
But on the basic level, it is a positive. I mean, it would be hard to say that they're just setting up an Isser without the positive institution. I mean, like I don't know whether anyone says that. I mean, there's essentially what bracha is a positive institution.
Right.
It's an extension of the device of bracha. It's shavach. It's a Mitzvah of Shavach.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the Chiddush is that there's an Isser. So that's why, you know, Kolon is a little Rachamah.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Alrighty, so I guess what we'll do next is the Ravid. You can look at the Rambam and the Ravid. Rambam and the Ravid on this, I don't know, wherever it is. Maybe look at the Gemara Kotzer. Right? Is I don't know. It's, I think, Parak Yud or something. Just find it quickly in case anyone wants to look at it. It's, Parachas halacha yud beis brachos. Okay, the Rambam, but the Rambam doesn't say that much. It's not really clear how the Rambam holds. So it's more the Ravid. Okay, more the Ravid. Okay, let's think about that. Okay, we can think about that. Okay, so perhaps we'll discuss the machlokas between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Perhaps we'll do that next time.